Welcome to the Jaded Gamers episode 24. I'm your host Katsu, and with me is DeFaro.
How's it going?
Pretty good. It's been about a month now.
Yeah, I mean, we decided that since the summer is typically a drought time for video games, to slow it down for a little so we'd have a little bit to talk about.
Yeah, let's be honest.
That's not what happened.
Some of it was laziness. Some of it was conflict.
And power outages. And internet outages.
Yes. We actually tried to record one last week, and we share our outline via Google.
Google Docs.
Right, documents, which is a really cool tool. Unfortunately, if you don't have internet access, you can't access your document. So we were all ready to record last week. We came to my house, which seems to lose power, once or twice a week, it seems. And if it rains, maybe once or twice a day. So something happened to our cable modem, and needless to say, we were unable to retrieve the document. So we just kind of sat here and played video games, I guess. That's sort
Pretty
of not
it.
Such a bad thing, but that's what kept us from doing it last week. And then previously, you've got some new scheduling going on. You've got some, I know you're taking some summer courses.
Yes.
So our normal days, which were Wednesdays, are now no good. So we're trying to figure that out. Who cares? I mean, let's just get going with our current podcast. We've got a lot of stuff to catch up on.
We do.
And very little time to do it in. So it's sort of like the Smokey and the Bandit, you know?
Like Smokey and the Bandit 3.
No.
This is like Smokey and the Bandit with Burt Reynolds.
Right. So do you remember Smokey and the Bandit?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember the premise?
Well, he had to get away from Smokey
because
he was the bandit.
He was driving a truck or something? No. The premise was that he was challenged to go back in the 70s. You couldn't take cars across the Mississippi or something like that. It was some crazy thing. It wasn't allowed east of the Mississippi. It was like bootleg beer. It was just cars. I don't know why. But they challenged him to go from Georgia to Texas by a truckload of Coors and bring it back in like 48 hours or something like that. So I think the song goes something like, got a long way to go in a short time to get there. And I've just wasted another 2 minutes.
You have, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So anyway, let's just get going. Personal status. Your elite got struck by lightning. That's interesting.
As a responsible electronics owner and responsible game owner, I have surge protectors on all of my electronics. Now, what I didn't know, because I'm used to living in a state that's not ghetto, is that cable lines in Texas are above ground to a lot of apartment complexes. So apparently, your cable line can get struck by lightning, which is what happened to us. So it traveled in through my cable modem, out to my router, and then from my router to my 360 Elite, killing everything it touched.
So what happened to your computer? Did it die?
My computer was somehow, I guess because it's a really long cable, didn't reach it somehow.
What about PS3?
PS3 is fine.
So how do you know it was your cable modem and not just a power? I thought you said that...
My cable modem and my router died.
Yeah,
my 360. And they're the only... The 360 was on a completely different surge protector.
I see. Okay. Anyway, I mean, they do make surge protectors for your power and your Ethernet.
I know. I ordered them. Actually, cable is what I need, not Ethernet. And I ordered it. One with...
Oh, the coax.
Two input coax and two input Ethernet.
So what's the status on that? Did you get it sent off? How did that whole process work? Luckily,
I called Microsoft.
Lock on wood.
And I didn't say...
I haven't had a problem.
I made sure not to say my Elite was struck by lightning.
Okay.
What I said was, I came home and my Elite wasn't working, which is exactly what happened. So it wasn't working. Called them up, and they said, we'll send you a box. UPS got that box with my address, my correct address on it, and decided, we can't find that address. Let's send it right back.
Wow.
So I called Microsoft, and they said, is that your address? And I said, yeah, UPS delivers to me all the time. I get at least two or three UPS packages a week. So I'm thinking, what the hell? So I call them, and they send it back out this time next day instead of whatever it normally is.
Uh-huh.
I get it last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I send out my box. I go take my box with me to UPS to pick it up because they won't leave anything at my doorstep. So I actually drive my ass down to UPS, wait an hour and a half for my driver, who's always late, to get in to get me the box, put the box in there. It's 8:30 at night, send it out. Thursday, I get a notice saying, we sent it out. Friday, I get a UPS notice, and I wait another hour and a half on Friday evening, and I have my Elite. It's a two-day turnaround, but one day, really.
Well, that sounds like they didn't actually fix your Elite. Did you check is it the same serial?
No, it's not.
So it's a totally different Elite.
But it looks like it has the extra cooling because you can see it through the happy little grate.
Happy little grate.
Yeah, it's a happy little grate.
Okay, so did you have to send back your hard drive?
No.
Okay, that's cool. So, I mean, I've never had a 360, thank God. I haven't had one go down. I have two. I've actually owned five at some point, buying and selling different ones. But anyway, so what's the process like? You call them up, and then they make you go through a series of tests, or is there an error code or a ring code?
Well, they wanted me to do a whole bunch of bullshit, but I'd already gone online and checked to see what the reset code was to reset your cache. Mm-hmm. I tried it with the hard drive unplugged. I tried it with extra AV cables that I had because I have the VGA cable and the component cables.
Uh-huh.
I tried it with with wired controller, but not wireless.
Was it not coming up at all?
No, I mean, it would come up and give me an error 75, and there's no 75 documented on any of the websites online. They have a 76.
Which was what?
Hard drive.
Oh.
But I was running it without my hard drive plugged in.
And it still give you...
Right. So I called them up, and they said, oh, we need you to do all this stuff. And I said, I can't. I'm in the car. Just send me a box. And they said, well, if we can't get you an Elite, and I immediately interrupted the guy and I said, oh, you can give me my money back. And then it was never an op. They just sounded like they'd be able to give me an Elite, and they did.
Wow. Well, really, the Elite,
is black, and the premium or the new version will not be black.
Yeah, but then you got the HDMI and...
Which I can't use.
Right.
Because it supports 1.1 and 1.3, but not 1.2, which is what my TV has.
Have you tried it with the new one?
Yes, doesn't work.
It still doesn't work, okay. So it's not an issue with that particular one. It's actually an issue with the versions of HDCP they support.
Which they should probably support 1.1 through 1.3, since there are Microsoft-certified products that are 1.2.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. I've never had a problem with it.
So it actually knocked out whatever my router is connected to, also died. Whatever the line is initially connected to, because my entire complex was out internet-wise, and I did not get internet restored until this last Wednesday.
Sounds like fun. Do you know if your neighbors also got knocked out?
I just said that.
I know, but I mean, did they lose equipment?
Oh, nobody else lost equipment. I just got lucky.
Oh, okay. You got lucky. That's what I meant.
But
yeah, so I've had an experience with HD, speaking of HDCP, but it wasn't anything with hardware. I haven't actually watched a whole lot of HD movies, and I've had two HD DVDs laying around the house from Netflix for about a month. They've been sitting here. I got Serenity and Smoking Aces. Have you seen either of these?
How is Serenity?
I heard a lot of good things about Serenity.
I have it on DVD, but because it's on HD DVD, I haven't watched it, and I'm just waiting to get a Netflix HD DVD.
I don't really know if there was a big difference in HD DVD and DVD. I mean, it looked okay, but it was nothing that was like jaw-dropping. So as far as the HD versus DVD, I couldn't tell you. The movie itself, I had heard a lot of good things about it from people that didn't even like science fiction. And I'd heard, sort of like a space western, which we kind of hear Star Wars was sometimes referred to as a space opera western.
Space
serial.
Opera, I've never heard it referred to as a western. But Star Trek, on the other hand, the original series.
Well, in any case, but, a good friend of mine said that it's actually, that it's more western than you would imagine. And so I was like, I'm keeping...
Is that why the main character in all the trailers had that ghetto, get her done accent?
I guess.
I aim to misbehave. I'm going to get some chaw.
Did you ever watch Firefly?
Hell no.
Okay, so Firefly, and I didn't know this either, but Firefly was a short-lived TV series that was the predecessor to this movie, Serenity.
I tried to read the comic, which was a predecessor to the TV series, and it was terrible.
So Joss Whedon, who created the TV version of Buffy, I guess, did he create the movie one? I don't know. I don't know about that. Anyway, so he created this show called Firefly, which is a sort of space western, and didn't do that well. And then it didn't do that well, so let's say, hey, let's make a movie on this TV show that didn't do that well. And then that, I guess, the movie didn't do very well either, although all the geeks seemed to like it.
I'll bet it made a huge profit in DVD sales.
Probably, because it's one of those movies that I think geeks do buy, right? But anyway, so I watched it, I kept an open mind, and I was thoroughly unimpressed. it wasn't very good. I didn't think.
Well, you know was... that now that you've said that it sucks, I'm going to watch it.
And you're going to love
because
it.
Because my expectations are so low,
yeah.
I'm going to think it's awesome.
It was very blah. It was sort of a boring movie. It had a sort of a silly premise. And it was like about this young girl who was like a super weapon and like the Empire or whatever the fuck they're. Whatever the hell they're called, is after her, you know, and you're sort of the Han Solo, or your main good's like Han Solo type guy, you know, the Clint Eastwood guy or whatever. And I don't know, I just didn't see a whole bunch to it. It was sort of silly. And there was kind of these creepy zombies, space zombies, you may like that, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm all up for space zombies.
And
are they actual zombies or are they brainful?
They are...
Do they talk?
I don't think they come out a whole bunch. Did you ever see this... Did you ever see the Wing Commander movie that was, like, really terrible? The Wing Commander movie?
Absolutely not.
You did not see it?
Absolutely not.
One of the disappointing things about that movie, and it's sort of like this movie,
was
is that...
Was that it starred a whole bunch of actors from teen dramas?
Well, okay. But more than likely, you were...
And it didn't
you,
have Mark Hamill?
Okay. So when you went to go see this movie, more than likely, we're looking forward to the conflict between the Kill good guys Raffi and the Karathi, right? So... If you're going to have a big-time enemy that's widely, especially if your audience is expecting to see Kilrathi, you probably want to show the Kilrathi. They didn't show the Kilrathi until, like, at the very end, and it was, like, very little. And that was sort of the same thing with the things and the zombie things. I don't even remember what the hell they were called.
So you're saying they talked about them a lot. Special effects.
Right. They talked about them a lot. They were supposed to be very ferocious and mean, you know, all this stuff, and then they never really showed them.
So it's like if the First Contact, the Borg Star Trek movie, didn't have any Borg in it until the last
If they just
minutes.
Talked about the Borg a lot and sort of alluded to the Borg and showed, like, ramifications of, you know, what the Borg is all about, but never actually saw the Borg, or very little until the end, that would be the same thing.
Mm.
So that was sort of silly. I don't know. I wasn't too impressed.
All right.
So, I don't know. So then the other movie I saw was Smoking Aces. And this movie, I'm a big poker player, as you know. You know, has aces in it. It's about Las Vegas. It's about mafia. It's got to be, you know, it's got a lot of these cool people in it, like Jeremy Piven. It's got, what's that dude from Waiting? The main guy. Not the main guy, but not the main guy in the Apple commercials, but the other dude.
The funny dude. The guy from Van Wilder.
Yeah, that guy's awesome. I can't remember his name.
Well,
that guy. That
the guy
awesome.
Who always plays the same character, but that character is awesome.
Yes,
that
exactly.
Okay.
So... You know, I was like, this movie's going to rock. And it was totally different than what I thought.
Like, different how?
It was a lot less Vegas-y. It could have been set anywhere. It didn't, I mean, it had, the story was about mobs, you know, in Vegas and stuff like that. But they didn't actually do anything with Vegas. There was no poker. There was no casinos. There was, like, it was just, he was holed up in a Lake Tahoe penthouse. And there was a lot of stuff with the FBI. And that was it. There's some cool shooting and stuff towards the end, and then the plot twist was sort of lame and sort of predictable.
Was it M. Night Shyamalan movie lame?
Yes.
That's not what I want. I've heard so much good stuff about this movie also.
It was okay. I think between the two, I probably had higher expectations for Serenity, so therefore I was more disappointed by Serenity.
I see.
And my expectations for Smoking Aces, while decent, weren't that high. So I was expecting, you know, like a C-plus movie, and I got like a C-minus movie for Smoking Aces. For Serenity, I was thinking like A, and I got like a C-minus also. So they're about equal in quality, but, you know, my expectations were much higher for Serenity. But as far as the HD DVD, actually wanted to bring up is I was watching these, of course, on my only HD DVD player, which is the Xbox HD DVD add-on.
Which I think is still...
I had a lot of problems.
The only regular available... HD player, is it?
No, you can buy standalones. And actually, standalones are as low as $300 now.
Really?
Yes. Yes, they are. So they're getting pretty cheap. But I had a lot of problems with Smoking Aces. And Smoking Aces was a combo disc. It had DVD on one side and HD DVD on the other side.
I've heard that those have problems on the 360 drive.
Well, I sure saw it. I kept getting frozen. And then at the beginning, I kept getting... I turned on subtitles because I usually like to watch movies with subtitles. I just do. I just, because there's a lot of things that I miss.
Are you not watching your movies loud enough?
I don't know. It just, I like watching movies with subtitles. Claire's gotten used to it, and she actually prefers it now. Because there's sometimes characters talk too fast, or not really paying attention, and then you see it, I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, it's because you're not a native English speaker?
Right.
Wait, no, you are a native English speaker.
But in any case, when I enabled the subtitles, everything got all fucked up. The subtitles just everything got out of sync. The video wasn't synced with the audio at all. And so I was like, you know, okay, let me turn the subtitles off and restart it. Still had problems. Let me power down the 360 startup. Then it was okay. And then I tried to skip forward to the part where I had already seen, and I got all screwed up, and it was just a big mess.
Do you have the newest update for your HD DVD drive? Because the only way I was able to get mine to update was to log in to live with it off and unplugged, and then plug it in while logged into live.
I don't think it's prompted me to do it.
It only prompted me when I did that, and it did 3 updates.
Wow.
So,
okay. So I guess you should try that. But it was, and then I thought I had figured it out. I was like, okay, I just won't touch it. Just let it play and just suffer through the parts I've already seen 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it finally got going. And then about 75% through the film, it just froze. It just froze again. It completely frozen. And so I had to restart it again and get past that scene.
You were telling me before that your HD drive doesn't power off when your 360 is off. I think there may be something wrong with your
drive.
But
this is my second HD DVD drive. The first one died, and that one never powered off. And this one doesn't power off either.
Mine powers off.
Well, actually, to be fair, I don't think I've given this one a chance to power. Like, I just never plug it in because my first one never seemed to turn off. So when I got a replacement, I was just like, nah, I'm not leaving that plugged in anymore. So it could be that the first one was truly defective and something finally popped, you know, because it would never power up again. But in any case, I ended up having to finish watching the film by flipping it over to the DVD side, finishing it that way. That's the only way I could finish watching it. It was pathetic. And the worst part is, like, I didn't really even notice that big of a difference in, you know, quality of the film.
Well, you don't have a 1080p TV, right?
I have 1080i, so all the resolution's there. You know, it's just fast-moving scenes are going to tear, like, theoretically. But the still resolution's still 1080i, 1080 lines of resolution.
So speaking of 1080. I just replaced my monitor.
Your what monitor?
My computer monitor.
Did you finally move up to 24-inch monitor?
I did.
Yeah.
I had 2 20-inch widescreen BenQs, great monitors, that I was able to sell for $300 and buy a 24-inch 1080p, which is actually higher than that. It's 19x12,
yeah.
Or 1920x1200.
100, yeah.
100. And once I got the proper cable in, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, so the problem with that is that the computer monitors are not 16x9.
They're 16x10, right?
They're 16x10, evident by the resolution not being 1920x1080. It's 1920x1200.
Which is okay.
And that's because it's to give you more real estate when you're actually working on your PC. 16x9s are actually a little wider. They're a little more rectangular and less square.
If you run taskbar always on top, you won't notice the difference. That's what I do.
Well, like when I play the games for Windows Live games like Halo 2 or Shadowrun, which I'll talk about a little bit, it seems to still kind of stretch stuff. Things that should be circles are sort of oval. You ever notice? You don't have Shadowrun for the PC.
I don't have it yet. It's probably in my mailbox right now.
Yeah.
Jasmine X is going to be checking my mail. And
so there's some things like that. And then certain monitors will allow you a one-to-one mode where it maps, as you would expect, one pixel to one pixel. And it actually centers it and gives you black bands on the top and the bottom. So that's pretty cool. Like, depending on your monitor and what you're connecting to it via what cable, lots of times you can actually, like through component or whatever, if you're running a 360, you can actually just get it to do black banding, which is really what you want so that you don't get a distorted image.
Right.
But yeah, I used to have I started out with a 21-inch regular CRT monitor, and I had that for forever, like 7 years. And then I replaced it with a 22-inch LCD, and I didn't like that the resolution was lower, and then I finally moved it to a 24-inch a few months ago. And yeah, I can't imagine going back. I just love the you know, all the real estate you get on your desktop, and I'm actually thinking about getting another 24-inch.
I was thinking of getting the better 24-inch Dell that I didn't get.
That's what I ended up with.
The 2500 by whatever. The good.
The 30-inch Dell?
I think it was 27.
No, the 27 is exactly the same resolution. It's
okay,
just bigger.
Well, I guess it would be the 30 then.
The 30-inch Dell is actually the ultra-high resolution. That one runs you over easily over 1,000.
Yeah.
If you get a refurb.
But I found out that through work I get a discount that works out to about 12% and brings it just below
1,000. Yeah, that would be the next step for me. Right now I have a 24-inch monitor, and then right above it, mounted on the walls, I have a 37-inch 1080p monitor. And so it works really well for me. I can use it both as a extension of my desktop, which we're doing right now, or to play PS3 or HDMI Xbox 360 through my Elite. So it works out pretty well. Yeah, we talked a lot about monitors there, which we weren't even scheduled to.
That's okay.
Yeah, so let's move on to some of the games we've been playing lately. I know both of us started out at least a month ago or whenever it was, started playing a lot of Shadowrun.
And I'm still playing a lot of
I've tapered off some. I think I might be done with it.
I got out of class early yesterday and played Shadowrun all the way until the time Jasmine.
Well, you had been missing your Shadowrun because you didn't have a...
I didn't have a 360,
have a way
and
to play
then
it.
I didn't have internet.
Right.
So I missed 2 weeks of Shadowrun. Well, almost 3 weeks of Shadowrun time. Right. But I found out that I'm still awesome at Shadowrun.
So
I have a Shadowrun story to tell you before we go into our review.
Well, we should clarify that you're playing Shadowrun on the 360, right? And I'm playing Shadowrun on the PC.
But that will change soon. Soon I'm going to be playing on my PC.
Okay. So go ahead. Go with your story.
So yesterday I was playing. I'm getting achievements. I get my Gust. I'm just working on achievements. I get my Gust achievement for gusting 5 people. I get my teabagging achievement, Shadowrun Fever.
You finally got it?
Yeah.
So can I do it to you now?
Yeah, if I'm dead, you can.
How can you tell somebody has it?
You can check, or you can just teabag everyone for a couple rounds or a couple matches.
So what does that do? Just crouch repeatedly on their face?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it. But somebody has to already have it.
Wow. That's a pretty cool idea, the viral achievements.
Now, if it was a negative achievement, and then you had to find somebody with the penicillin achievement, that would be awesome, but it's not. Unfortunately.
So let me explain that a little bit. The viral achievement we're talking about, or viral achievements in general, start out as usually...
The developers.
The developers have this achievement that they have, and the only way that you can get that particular achievement is for somebody to either defeat them or get it from that person. And now you have, you know, the developers plus whoever took that from them, and then it keeps on going online. Eventually, most of the people will have been infected by this viral achievement. So now that I know you have it, I can get it from you.
That's right.
You know, so
I can infect
you. And how much is it? Like
25.
It's 25 points?
Yes.
Wow. And that's pretty cool. I mean, it's an interesting way to handle achievements. I don't think it's the first one that's been done that way, but
it's the second one.
What was the first one?
The first one is for Gears of War, and you have to play against somebody who has the achievement.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. What was that achievement called?
I don't know. It had some funny names. They were all funny.
Okay. Anyway. So continue with your story. So you have some achievements.
Elf Bane, and I got my 100 resurrected, and I'm working on So right now I'm working on the smoke achievement, which is 60-minute smoked, shotgun, and the rifle achievement. All three of those. So those are my weapons.
Yeah.
Smoke. Yeah. So there's a really hard achievement to get where you have to win a match, not a round, a match, and have at least 10 kills and 0 deaths.
Right.
So I'm on the last match.
Last round.
Or the last round of my match. I have 9 kills and 0 deaths. And I came back because I got up to pee and the round started again too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back and there's 4 opponents left. I have 5 kills at this point. There's 4 opponents left. And I'm taking... Or maybe there... I guess there must have been 5 left because I had 4 when I started. No, I had 5 when I started. But anyway, that's not the point. So I kill all of them down to one guy who's the flag carrier I'm defending on a raid.
Uh-huh.
And I'm about to kill him, and Jasmine X walks into the door, walks right in front of my screen, and plants a big kiss on my lips.
And you die.
And he beats me to death with the flag while I can't see what's going on.
And you were pissed.
Oh, I was pissed. You don't understand how pissed I was.
And what did she say? Because I'm just trying to love you.
She said, oh, you complain I don't kiss you when I come in. Yeah, but not when I'm fragging and you can see I'm all emotional.
They just don't understand.
But afterwards, we went for a bike ride and we both smoothed things over.
Did you put ice on the bruise?
No, ice on the bruise would be getting the achievement.
Oh. I always use a telephone book. Doesn't leave bruises.
Wow.
That's my tip from me to you.
Okay. I was going to use a bag of oranges.
Okay, so I've been playing on the PC, and on several occasions now, especially since you were out of a 360, you brought over your game and your profile, and since I have 2 monitors stacked on top of each other, we're able to play on the same team in the same room on 2 different platforms, which is really cool. And
we got BFF.
Yeah. since we're on different platforms, this is another interesting thing about Shadowrun achievements is they have cross-platform achievements. Shadowrun is the first game that allows you to play PC gamers versus Xbox 360 gamers, and they have achievements to get those. So, every time I was on, it was like achievements galore because there's probably very few PC gamers. So you can't tell. You can't tell who's playing.
But with that Circuit City deal that's floating around, it's going to increase a lot.
Right. So that's like buy Halo 2 and get a free Shadowrun for the PC.
For the PC. PC. Right. Now, I don't understand. Shadowrun, I never have a shortage of players to play with. I'm always in a full game. I know tons of every person that I've played with in Shadowrun. Yeah. I look in the little controller icon on your friends for people you played. It's full. They're all playing. I don't understand why Circuit City decided to dump Shadowrun.
I don't think that they decided to dump Shadowrun. Well, I think it's just a promo. It's just like a promo like everything else where they just try to bring people in, you know. Actually, the week before that, or maybe 2 weeks before that, they had the opposite deal. It was like buy Shadowrun and get a free Microsoft Simulator X.
And they also had Flight Simulator. They actually had get a $20 game, a 360 $20 game or less for free.
When you bought the 360 version.
When you bought the 360
so version. I think they're just deals with Microsoft. But not sure.
Do you know what game I bought? Because they were picked clean?
Blitz.
Blitz the League.
Yeah, that's awesome. You have fun with that. Have you even opened it?
No, it's in the back seat of my car. I'm hoping it'll get sun damaged and I can return it for credit.
Yeah. There's always this year's Christmas party where you can give it away as a white elephant gift.
No, I think that's going to be that dating simulator they released for the DS recently.
Sprung. Did you buy that?
No. But I see it all the time.
It's like for $2.
For $2.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about PC versus 360. I actually have not played on the 360 because I refuse to because of the dual analog sticks. But I've clearly, I've seen the two running literally not side by side, but one on top of the other. And
which is side by side, but the sides are top and bottom.
True. Not left and right. I just normally think of side by side, left and right. But you're right. Yeah. So I have seen them side by side run at the same time. And they cripple the graphics of the PC version to match the...
No, they don't cripple the graphics. They cripple the frame rate.
Well, yeah. And the graphics are no better on the PC, even though they could be.
They have promised to update that.
You know, there's no... you don't get higher resolution textures. You don't get higher resolution models, anything like that. You do get a higher resolution, but it's of the same model and using the same texture.
Your models actually have a little better texture-wise. I think that the 360
and the frame rate is locked at 30.
Does some optimization that does blurring instead of generating all of the textures.
You know what the worst part of the graphics of Shadowrun are? Climbing ladders.
There is no animation.
There is no animation. Ladders. You just slide up the ladders and you slide down the ladders. That's sort of...
It's like Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike Source is the same way. Dude, and Halo is the same way.
But that shit's old. And this is next
when
gen.
Graw is the same way.
Graw has ladders?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Graw, whatever the Vegas one is, has ladders.
That's not Graw, dude. That's Rainbow Six.
Crap Six. Vegas.
Anyway, it looks really, really bad. It looks so tacky. It looks so 1998.
So, I think it's because the production quality of the rest of the game is so great.
But then there's only, what, 8 maps?
Those 8 maps are fine.
There's 8 maps, 3 modes, 2 of which are pretty much identical.
Raid and Extraction?
Yeah, Raid and Extraction or Capture the Flag. One of them is both teams can capture the flag. The other one is only one team can capture the flag.
No map that has... Raid also has Extraction and vice versa.
And then the other one is like Free-for-All, which is the third one. I hardly ever see that mode.
Are you talking about Attrition?
Yeah, Attrition.
There's no Free-for-All.
What is Attrition then?
Attrition is Counter-Strike, team versus team. The bot, you can resurrect people a near infinite number of times.
Okay, it's team deathmatch, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, there isn't there is no Free-for-All in any mode.
Because like everyone would pick
Attrition. It's always a team game. And that I don't have a problem with that. It's always a team. But there's only 3 modes. 2 of them don't even differ that much. There's only 8 maps. And there's no single player at all.
I don't care. I'm enjoying it enough.
And it's $60.
This is the way I see it.
You don't think it's overpriced?
When you played Quake, did you play all the deathmatch maps? Or did you play like 4 or 5 tournament quality ones?
Well, you're treading into different territory because Quake is heavily modded. It's user supported. and there's a lot of maps and a lot of modes.
But
when
you're playing in tournaments, did you play three or four maps, or did you play
all? It depended on the tournament. The tournaments were usually three or four maps, but they weren't always the same three or four maps. You know what I mean? They would change. There were certain staples.
And there are large and small versions of every map, which are different layout, and you go into different parts of them.
Well, the problem is that they charge $60 for eight maps and three modes and four characters. That's it. You don't think that's overpriced? This should have been a $40 game.
I disagree. I think the amount of effort that they put into developing this game, I think you underestimate the amount of effort it took to make the game that they did.
I don't care. There's lots of other games that require tons of effort that cost the same or less.
Not or less. Name it or less.
Final Fantasy 12.
No, that required less effort, I think.
That required less effort. You're full of shit.
It's an MMORPG.
No, Final Fantasy 12, not 11. For the PS2.
Okay, it's a single player online role-playing game.
There is no way in hell that it took as much money or time or effort to develop Shadowrun as it did to develop Final Fantasy XII.
Balancing a single player and a multiplayer is huge.
No, the difference really, if you're gonna say that's a bad comparison, the difference is Final Fantasy is a proven million seller, right? So they can afford to put in the resources because they know they're gonna recoup them if not, you know, make tons of money. Where Shadowrun's unproven. But even look at something like Unreal Tournament for the PC.
No. Don't start comparing the PC version.
No, I'm talking... Shadowrun's a PC game. If I'm a PC gamer...
Yeah, and it's $50 on the PC.
Right, okay.
Or $40
in
most places.
Fine. So the MSRP is $50. Now you look at something like UT, 2K4, whatever the last 2K was, and just compare the amount of stuff that you get. There's no single-player campaign like there is in UT.
There's no single-player campaign in 04. It's a bunch of bot matches.
There's at least some semblance of a single player. There's absolutely zero. There is none.
That's a bad comparison. Compare Quake 4 if you're going to compare something.
Well, Quake 4 is even worse because Quake 4 has a thoroughly fleshed out single player campaign.
Which is terrible and useless.
No, it's not necessarily that. It's just that at least you have a choice. Anyway, my point is it seems a little overpriced. $60 is far too much money for eight maps, three modes, and online only play. And I'm going to stand by that. I don't know.
What
I didn't
do you
pay.
Believe
I bought the PC version.
What do you believe it's worth?
And I paid what I paid for it. I paid $38 for mine. And I got a free Microsoft Simulator, Flight Simulator X.
That sounds like a great price.
Right. So basically, what they did is they paid me $12 to buy that game. Because I turned right around and I returned that. Actually, I gave it to my wife. And I said, look, here's $54 of credit at Walmart or something, you know. Just take it back and tell them you want credit. So she took back Microsoft Flight Simulator and got $54 in credit at Walmart and, you know, bought whatever she wanted. So they paid me $12 plus tax to take this game. It's definitely worth that. It's definitely not worth $60.
I say, for me, the enjoyment I get out of it makes it worth $60.
It would be better if they charge you like $20 up front and then $9.95 a month to play it.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it would.
No, it wouldn't. After 3 months, it wouldn't be worth it.
Exactly. It's not going to be worth it now anyway.
It's worth it now.
No way.
I think it's worth it. I'm playing the crap out of it.
If you can get this game for $40 or less, I think go for it. Especially the superior PC version, which
arguably
you can.
Arguably superior. But if you're going to get the PC version, at least get yourself a 360 wired controller so you can feel both control schemes.
Exactly. There's no downside to the PC version. It runs better.
There
is
a downside.
Better.
And
you can still
use. It costs you at least $200 extra to play the PC version, and that's to install Vista, which won't work with all of
your
apps.
Okay, if you've got everything in place already, then and you have a choice, then definitely go for the Vista version. If you have to make upgrades or changes to your PC in order to play it, then definitely do not get the PC version. But since I already had everything in place, it cost me nothing more. Except for the cost of the game, which was -$12.
Well, if you're on Shadowrun and you're enjoying it, my gamer tag is Mr. Tasty. That's capital M-R, capital T-A-S-T-I-E. And I'll play. If you're on there, I guarantee if you're a listener and I don't know you in real life and you send it to me, I promise you I will stay on for at least half an hour playing.
And you'll lay down and let them teabag you?
If I die, I'll remind you to teabag me. That's if I die.
Yeah, if you die. Okay. You talked a lot of smack, dude, and then we actually played. I'm like, dude, you suck when we were playing here.
We'll play it again. I said, I'm sucking right now, and I don't know what the fuck is wrong, is what I said.
That's because I was watching, huh? But anyway, so what else have we been? I play a little Halo 2.
You talk smack about Guitar Hero 2, and I think we know how that came.
Yeah, exactly. You wussed out in the end, and you left after you lost to the last two.
But I won like 6 in a row before that.
I won the first two, and then you won in the middle, and then I won at the end, and then you decided to leave. Not only that, but the ones you won, I was the best performer for some reason.
But I got the highest score and the longest streak.
You got the higher score, but I had the most notes hit.
But I had the longer streaks.
And I had the best performer.
But still, the person who wins is the person who wins on score.
I wonder how that works, though, because at the end of the match, we would go and check our stats, and it would have maybe just based purely on how many notes you hit, because I would hit more notes, and under my column, it would at the very top, it would say best performer.
Even though most of the percentages would be better for me. I would have a whole bunch of hundreds for the different stanzas.
Yeah, you had more stanzas with hundreds, and I had just... consistently
well, the thing is that when I miss,
you'd miss
parts,
huge.
I miss huge. But when you miss parts, you miss like every third note.
Right. Wait, no. I'd miss a few notes and then get right back on it. Whereas you'd go like 200 notes and then you'd wait
for the part to start over.
And then you'd miss 20.
I'd play perfectly.
And I would get like 100 notes, missed one, 100 notes, missed one, 100 notes, missed one.
But then I'd hit like 300 in a row.
The problem is I get bored and my fingers get bored of doing the same motion. So it's stuff that's rhythmic and repeated over and over and over.
So you're saying you'd do terrible in a band.
My mind just kind of, and my finger just kind of like.
Perhaps you need jazz interpretation, Hira.
And I just can't hit the same notes redundant just over and over and over. I need variety. And in songs that had more lead guitar, more variety, I would. Those are the ones I was beating you with. Especially like, what was the last song? The insanely long one? Oh, Freebird.
Freebird.
Yeah, at the beginning, you were kicking my ass.
And it wasn't like a small kicking of your ass. It was like.
It was like 20,000 lead. Yeah, it was like 20,000 lead. And at the end, by the end, I had a 50,000 lead. But after we got through all the.
And I told you before the song went that that's what was going to happen.
I didn't know you were going to do that badly on the lead parts. Because
the weird interpretive shit that has no sequence or pattern, I don't do well on.
I could do those. It's the ones that have two patterns that I have problems with. And unfortunately for me, most songs are repeated over and over.
That's most music.
Yeah, exactly. Both parts of the songs are just repeated over and over, and that's not good for me. So I'm actually still playing that game. I've gone back and sort of trudged through the easy campaign, getting 5 stars and everything, and then medium is sort of, not too bad, but I'm almost done with that, and then I'm sure I'll have a good time trying to 5-star all the hards. Because initially I just went through hard and expert, just I didn't care as long as I passed the song.
I think streak count counts for how many stars you get, so you might be in a little bit of trouble.
We will see. I bet I will have some trouble, because if it is based on score, then you're right, the streak count's going to be a big part of that. So we will see. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, Odin Sphere. I picked that up. I talked about it, seems like, a month ago, because it was a month ago. And
how do you feel a month later?
I feel like I've played it twice.
And, really?
Yeah. And I don't feel like I'm going to go back to it. It looked really cool, but the gameplay is
That's
just
exactly
kind of blah.
That's exactly what I thought about it.
Yeah, the gameplay is kind of blah. The worst part of it is that your attack button is the same as your block button.
That's dumb.
It is dumb. And like, hello, there's like 10 buttons there. To choose from. Why do you have to make my attack button the same fucking button as your block button?
That's pretty stupid.
It didn't make any sense. And that's like the worst part of the whole game. And then like the levels are super, super tiny, and they're circular. And literally they're spherical. All the levels are circles, and it's very redundant. So the game itself is sort of weak, but it is a really cool looking game. And I'm so glad I got it. Let me go back to it.
It looked to me like an awesome Flash game. Like it would be all form and no substance.
Yeah, I guess. Also, I did finish up a couple games. Final Fantasy II for Donna Souls for the GBA. The one you said many podcasts back that I would never finish. I finished.
That's why you finished it, though.
No, I knew I was going to finish it. I was like at the end of the game. There was no way I wasn't going to go back.
Well, you have a Final Fantasy coming out this month that you need to finish.
Which was that?
The first one remade for the PSP.
I've already finished Final Fantasy I, so I'm not going to redo it. So that only leaves me. I finished 1 and 2. 3 is just came out for the DS, what, last year or something?
Yeah.
And then 4 I finished on the Super Nintendo. 5 I finished on the PlayStation, the remake. And then 6 I finished on the Super Nintendo. So those are the Nintendo era ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The only one that I need to do now is 3. And I was planning to go back because once I finished Final Fantasy... the reason I went back to it is because I need a bathroom game. And since Puzzle Quest was over, I was kind of looking around for something.
Pokemon Diamond.
I don't have Pokemon.
You don't have a flash card either?
No. So anyway, I was like, well, you know, I'll pick up Final Fantasy 2 and see where I'm at. And I was pretty much at the end. Finished that. And then I was looking for another game. Started looking at Final Fantasy 3. And then I said, you know what? Let me try Phoenix Wright. So I've actually been playing Phoenix Wright. Have you played it at all? I gave you Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
Have you tried it all?
I'm on the very last mission, and I haven't started it again. I played it the whole time I was in California for Christmas.
So I passed the first one fairly quickly. That was almost like a training mission, it seemed like. It was like a 30, 40-minute case.
Yeah.
And then the second mission was pretty cool. That was the one where your chief is
Is that the one with the clock?
Or the first statue? The first two are with the clock.
Which was the one with the... Oh, yeah.
Both of them. Right. Now I'm the one with the samurai guy that plays the TV.
One.
And so you passed that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... And then there's 4, I think.
And that's the one that I want.
So the fourth one's supposed to have DS...
The third one took me forever.
Really?
Yeah.
The second one was fairly long compared to the first. So the third one's even longer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
just when you think you've got it solved, you don't have it solved.
Yeah, oh, I hate that. It's like, oh, okay, I got this wrapped up. And then he makes up some other lies. Like, oh, you couldn't have possibly known that it was a lamp because blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, crap, I'm done for. And then the other guy was like, oh, yeah? How about this, this, and this? And he's like, oh, man. I was like, crap, I thought this thing was over. And then he goes to day 2 of the trial.
Even though this is translated into English, it's done the way the Japanese do it, where the prosecuting attorney doesn't have to share evidence with the defense.
You can tell by the way the courtroom is laid out. It's definitely not a United States courtroom.
Well, they've got a magistrate, so you know already it's not.
Yeah, it's totally different. And it's really cool. I'm enjoying it a lot. The plot is... So, you know, sort of silly, but still very enjoyable. The gameplay element, I didn't think you could lose. I'm like, how in the fuck can you lose this game?
But you can. On the phone, too. On my phone.
Uh-huh.
It's a port of the Game Boy Advance version.
So actually, yeah, a lot of people don't know, but Phoenix Wright for the DS, both 1 and 2, Ace Attorney and Injustice for All, are both ports of GBA games.
With improved graphics. And
The GBA games were 1, 2, and 3 in Japan, and it wasn't until Phoenix Wright 4 that was made specifically for the DS. So 1 and 2 are already out here, and again, those are ports of GBA games, so there's not
Which
a lot of...
Which are being re-released in Japan as DS games, because they did add some DS stuff.
So the fourth mission in Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, which is the first Phoenix Wright, that's actually has exclusive to the DS, I believe. So that was supposed to have some DS capabilities.
Which is probably why I'm screwed up on it.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go back.
But the second, and this is for all Phoenix Wright, that one is purely a port of the GBA one. So
refresh my memory, where are you in the third mission?
I'm just...
I'll tell you how close you are, and that's it.
Oh, I just started it. I've just started representing the Steel Samurai guy. So I just went to the movie lot. No. Well, I started. I went to the movie lot.
Have you
lot.
Seen the chick with the huge knockers that's not the spirit chick?
No.
Okay. You barely even touched
it. Yeah. I just started it. I didn't think I was too far into it. But it's been a lot of fun, and I'm pretty glad I picked it up and started playing it. I don't think I would have had such a good time with sort of Final Fantasy with Final Fantasy III. Maybe a later time. Maybe in about 3 or 4 years.
I think
years.
I might be entirely Final Fantasy'd out.
Well, you played 12 recently.
Yes.
Did you finish it?
No. I'm on the last boss, and then I just put it down.
See, one of the reasons I didn't finish Final Fantasy 2 before is because my party was underpowered, so...
That's not going to be a problem if you play 12.
Oh. Well, I had to, teleport all out of the... way out of the dungeon again, and then go... I had to teleport all the way out and then go back into the dungeon just to power up. So, you know, the second time I got to the final boss, I was able to beat it. But yeah, Final Fantasy II is sort of weird in that you don't gain experience. You have to... The more you get hurt, the more health you get. And the more you use your magic, the more powerful it gets. It's sort of weird. But, you know, I had a good time with it. I see you played Mad Tracks.
Yeah. It's exactly like the PC game, which is great for the price.
it got horrible, horrible reviews.
It's exactly like the PC game. So if anybody who said, oh man, I played the PC version and it's awesome, doesn't like the 360 version, you need to get a lobotomy.
Okay. I'm not going to argue because I didn't play it.
I've also been playing something that I got off of Gamefly, Elebits.
I know very little about
it. Elebits did not get stellar reviews.
I think what only thing I read about that was that it was short and looked like a tech demo more than anything.
It's short, and it's a tech demo in the way that Katamari is a tech demo for rolling crap up. So basically, you start out with a perfectly manicured, taken care of room, and you destroy the crap out of it by looking for these little gremlins that power electricity things, and then the more you have, you can power larger devices, and your beam upgrades, which looks like the beam from Ghostbusters. Okay. It upgrades so you can lift larger
things. Can you have two beams
things.
And cross them?
There's multiplayer, but I haven't tried to cross the streams on it.
Okay.
So eventually you get to the point where you can lift larger and larger objects, starting at like baseballs and smaller, and working your way up until you can lift like the whole house and shake all the elements out of a house.
Wow. So that does sound like Katamari, where it starts small and gets big.
It's a much shorter version of Katamari. And for the price that I got off of Gamefly, because I actually bought the game from Gamefly.
Oh, so you have Elebits. So
I now have.
You bought it.
I got it for $20 shipped.
That's good.
So the best thing about Gamefly, which you will like also, Rob, is if you get the disc and the disc looks good and you tell them you want to buy it, the case has never been touched.
Right.
It's basically just been opened up and taken out.
Right.
So everything's in it. Everything's
mint.
Perfect.
Mint. So all the inserts and everything.
Everything.
The registration
Even
card.
Even the little Nintendo Power card, which is useless now. And
cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, yeah, I've never been a Gamefly guy just because I don't like
to. But now in
rants,
my Gamefly, I've got Monster Madness, which I've been wanting to play, but I can't bring myself to open it because I got fours. Four out of ten.
Yeah, it didn't look too good.
But if the achievements look easy, I might open it and finish it up in an afternoon or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know you can buy stuff from Gamefly without actually being a member for a certain fee. So.
No, it's not for a certain fee, but you get discounts for being a member. If you're a member,
well, okay.
For
so it costs you a little bit more.
1 month, you get $5 off a game once a month, then 10%, and then 20%, and then yada, yada, yada.
Okay. I'll look into that again. Because, yeah, I'm definitely a fan of the pristine box and manuals.
If you want a pristine game, you should start renting PS3 games on Gamefly.
Woo! Hey, look, pristine, huh?
Pristine. I rented Fight Night just to see it, just to see the added sweat, and It looks great, but the disc looked like it had never been rented.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't play very many PS3 games, not lately. I'm still waiting for those blockbusters
I've
to come.
I've got Sigmas at the top of my queue, Ninja Gaiden Sigma.
I am actually considering buying that since I don't have Ninja Gaiden for the Xbox.
You want
all.
It?
What? Do I want it?
I've got it. I don't have Black, though.
Oh, you want it for the Xbox? No, I'll wait. I'm sure that it'll get discounted eventually. It's not like it's a whole new game, so. You know what's probably going to get discounted eventually? Or if not already, it's Crackdown. Since the Halo 3 beta is over,
have Crackdown.
Yeah, I know. No, I do. But if somebody's out there listening and they want to play a great game, which is Crackdown's a great game in its own right,
and it's super short,
it's
definitely not the price they originally sold it for.
What do you mean? They lowered the MSRP?
I said it's not worth the price they originally.
Oh, I don't know. I think it is. I got about 9-10 hours out of that. That's about right for a $60 game for me.
Well, that doesn't go with what you said earlier about Shadowrun.
No, I said there wasn't enough content, not that it was lengthy short.
Well, I don't think you should do your price evaluation on...
I think that I should get a lot. That doesn't mean it should take me a lot to finish it.
I don't really think you got a lot with Crackdown.
I think I got plenty.
You got four areas, right? Four gangs, four areas.
Let me put it, I never felt like I ran out of... Like I ran through everything in like an hour. In Shadowrun, I feel like I've seen everything there is to see in about an hour and a half.
Then you don't. There, what,
I've
what
seen
there
every
is
map.
See
I've seen every weapon.
Is
I've seen every
the
class.
The way that people use their classes and their powers, their races and their powers.
But that's not part of the game. That's
absolutely
the user.
It is. It's the dynamic that was built into the multiplayer.
I don't know. I still disagree.
But let's talk about some games. I see you've got Call of Juarez there, which I've seen running.
How is that?
It looks like total ass on the highest possible spec PC you
very
could
nice,
get.
Very nice. So there's a lot. I noticed there's a lot of simultaneous 360 PC releases.
As there should be.
And well, don't
because
you think
they're
sort
both
of
based on a DirectX code base.
Because if you recall, the Xbox One was pretty much a PC, right? A PC you know, squished into a black box.
Right.
And they didn't want to do a lot of PC ports for being afraid that it would be labeled a PC and not be able to differentiate itself from PC gaming.
But the opposite's true now. Now people want to say that they can do things that a PC can do.
Well, not only that, but now their architecture is completely different than a PC. Now it's a power-based architecture on the Xbox 360 with an ATI chipset, as opposed to before where it was like the most common thing you could have, which is an Intel CPU with an NVIDIA GPU on the Xbox One. Now they're like the weird ones. Now they got a power chip with ATI GPU, and now all of a sudden they have all these PC ports simultaneous releases.
Well, they're based on the DirectX 10 code base, which actually tightens down the restrictions for doing any sort of programming. And unified shader model is the big thing that DirectX 10 has, which should make cross-platform increasingly common.
So there's three games that have come out within the last few weeks that are Xbox 360 / PC exclusives. Those are Dirt, which is the newest Colin McRae.
Don't care.
It's a rally game. It's actually really fun. I played the demo.
Before I forget, did you see the update for Moto Storm? Or what's that?
There's a time attack.
No, there's a Japan only update to MotorStorm for online.
Right,
but you can only play with Japanese people.
Right.
So I can finally play, just not against you.
Right, exactly. So bully for you.
What are you, Theodore Roosevelt?
So Dirt, and then there's Carl of Juarez, which you already talked about, which is basically a cowboy first-person shooter.
If you didn't like Red Dead Revolver, stay away from this. And you know how many people like Red Dead Revolver?
Very few.
Yes, that's right. Maybe one in 100 that played it.
And then Monster Madness, which you already talked a little about. Which
is that on PC also?
Yeah, it's a Zombies Ate My Neighbors-esque game.
But not even in spirit or feel.
Right. And then there's Shadowrun. And then, of course, Halo 2.
And
so there's five games right there, huh?
You're forgetting Lost Planet.
But that wasn't a simultaneous
release.
Neither
was Halo 2 then.
That's true. So I guess you can't really count Halo 2. So there's four in the last month that were PC, Xbox 360 exclusive. And if you count not simultaneous releases, then you can include Lost Planet and Halo 2.
And Lost Planet actually looks amazing. And I've seen that run side by side on PC and 360.
Now that's supposed to be the first DX10 game.
And that's a real DX10 game. If you want a game just to show off your graphics card, that's a pretty good game. Except there's too much snow.
I saw GameSpot had a comparison. Did you see this?
Yeah.
That had the DX9 and the DX10 versions of the game running on the PC. And I didn't see a whole lot of difference. And you mouse over, you know, and it flips from the DX10 to DX9 screenshots. I didn't see a lot of difference. The way I've understood it, DirectX 10 is not supposed to be that much on graphical upgrades. It's supposed to be performance.
Right.
Upgrades. So I guess, theoretically speaking, if you're running DX9 and then you get a DX10 patch, you should get a performance boost. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay. So anyway, that's what I know
about
DX10.
So you can actually do higher quality textures and all sorts of stuff because it takes less processing power.
A couple other things we'll mention, at least for the Xbox 360. We have Tenchu Z, which apparently got poor ratings. Did you ever play any of the Tenchu games?
I did. I played all the PlayStation 1 ones, which was like two, right?
I think this is the fifth one. PlayStation 1 ones.
Yes.
Yeah, I think there were two, and then maybe two for the PS2. I think that's a franchise that's kind of gone downhill. It was Tenchu 1 was highly regarded, and then Tenchu 2 was supposed to be pretty good, and then PS2 kind of killed it.
I didn't even know there were PS2 ones.
Yeah, there are.
That's how good they must have been.
So there's Tenchu Z that came out recently, and then the Prince of Persia Classic. Did you try this?
Yeah, I tried it with you.
Oh, okay. And that game is awesome.
I didn't see the awesome.
If you liked the original one, you're going to love this one because it's basically the same, but with updated graphics.
And kind of.
This is the way that they should.
Worse control. Like.
No, it's the same control. You just don't remember.
Okay. Maybe I'm used to tighter controls.
It's the same clunky control, but it's sort of endearing in its own kind of weird way.
Not to me.
Well, I thought so. But this is the way that they should re-release classic games. They did a great job. They kept the core mechanics the same. They kept the basic game the same. They upgraded the graphics and kind of modernized it. So this is a good way of doing it. Not a big fan of the way they do like Gyrus and you know, Robotron, where they did slight graphical upgrades. I'd rather them just leave it alone and then provide a complete graphical upgrade.
On the subject of a re-release, what about Pac-Man CE? How does that feel?
That is not actually a re-release. Pac-Man CE should really be called Pac-Man 2, because it is completely different. Other than the basic premise of gobbling dots, energy pills, and or power pills, I guess, and ghosts, everything else is different. The mazes change. It's a timed game now, which is nice. You can't just go on forever. I think there's maybe a mode that you can keep playing. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that they're all timed. But the main mode is a 5-minute timed mode game where you have to get as many points as you can in 5 minutes, and it gets more hectic as it goes along. The maps are sort of cool, and they're really it's an HD game. So since it's widescreen, the mazes are kind of divided into two halves, left half and right half. And as you eat the dots and stuff on one half of the screen, when you eat the fruit on that side, it completely redraws the right side of the screen and opens up dots there. You never seem to have completely dot populated maps. There are portions of the map get dots, and it changes. So it keeps you on your toes.
If you're better at small tasks, you're much better at this Pac-Man than the
original. Because it keeps changing. You know, it's like, oh, now you have these dots, and I have these dots, and the pattern's different. This half of the maze is different. And then the game gets more intense as it goes on. It gets faster. If you get combos, the dots are worth more points if you don't die. So it's a really cool update, and a lot of people kind of disregarded Pac-Man Championship Edition when they first heard about it as just another Pac-Man, and you did the same thing.
Until I played it.
And then, yeah, you played it, and it's got this cool, like, rave look to it, you know? It's got these pulsating lights and this, you know, electronic music, and it's really fun, and I think this is one of those games that we should go halvesies on.
I think we should.
But you didn't bring your profile.
I actually already told Jasmine X that's what I was texting her about, to bring my profile.
Oh, cool. Because
because I have Unagi.
That's good. So anyway, that's Pac-Man CE. I highly recommend it. If you have any doubts that this is not for you, at least try the demo. It doesn't cost you anything.
You should always try the demo.
And it's limited to 3 minutes of the five, and even in those 3 minutes, you can tell it's a really fun game. So that one's really cool. Moving on to the Wii. We have Resident Evil 4, the Wii edition.
For $30.
$30.
I'm thinking of picking it up.
I'm thinking of not.
They did a slight graphical upgrade. They added all of the PS2 extra features, plus more extra features.
It's true widescreen now.
And it's a game that I can play with Jasmine X.
Why?
Because it's a Wii game. Oh. And she's a girl. Wii's for girls.
So, here are the releases, the recent releases. Resident Evil 4 for the Wii, Mario Party 8, and Big Brain Academy Wii Degree. Now, how many of those are minigame collections?
Two.
How many are GameCube ports?
Technically two.
Two?
Yeah, Mario Party 8 was originally slated for the GameCube.
Mario Party 8 was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And then they threw out most of the crap and redid it.
Wow. Okay, so all 100% of the games that we just mentioned are either minigame or ports, and in one case, both.
Two of my coworkers have already sold their Wiis. And I think that's stupid, but they did.
The Wii is crap. It's still crap. The hardware...
You know what I'm waiting for?
I don't care about the hardware. The Wii lineup... Let me rephrase. The Wii lineup is crap.
What's going to
save it for
me? What? The Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
I'm still waiting for an original Wii game that doesn't suck. Isn't a tech demo and isn't a minigame. Or a GameCube port.
Elebits.
Can you name a good Wii game that's not one of those? It can't be a minigame collection, which is like 75% of them. It can't be a GameCube port.
Which rules out Zelda.
Which rules out 20% of them. And it can't suck or be a tech demo.
Metroid 3 when it comes out in 2 years?
Yeah, we'll see.
If it comes out.
There is zero people. Super Mario, Paper Mario, GameCube port. Zelda, GameCube port. The Resident Evil 4, GameCube port. It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't want to talk about the rest of the new releases. I want to talk about something while it's on my mind.
Okay, well, the PS3 has none. PS2 one sucks. The PSP one doesn't have anything and anything useful or interesting. And the DS one doesn't really have anything interesting. Well, SimCity DS.
And Time Ace, that's one of the Space Ace games, right? No?
Or is that not? No, Time Ace, I think, is a derivative of Time Pilot.
Oh, I don't care.
But in 3D.
I so don't care.
I think.
So here's what I'm going to say.
Okay, so we can skip all that.
So Nintendo, totally sucking, right? They have novel hardware that comes out at a low price point that they released for a profit with off-the-shelf parts.
Well, it depends what you mean by sucking. They're definitely not sucking on the business part of things.
They're sucking on the enjoyment factor.
Yes, I agree with that, at least for me.
Now, a lot of my friends that are heavy drinkers, they're still all about their Wii because there's nothing better than Wii Sports wasted for them. But
yes.
I would just like to point
out, also play quarters.
I saw an article about this.
Cost you a quarter, I guess. A couple quarters.
I saw an article about this.
Uh-huh.
Nintendo is $2 billion short of being worth as much as Sony. Sony's entire company.
Yeah, I saw that.
Are you kidding me? And this is like they I think they did like five. They made five times their worth in 1 year.
Well, here's the thing with Nintendo. You can't go wrong catering to the lowest common denominator.
Which is poor people,
apparently. No, which are idiots.
Oh, and girls. But girls are not necessarily idiots. No. A subset of idiots is sometimes girls.
If you're talking about gaming, and I understand what you're going. I don't think you meant to say that girls are idiots, but you meant that they're actually catering to girls in a way that, say, Microsoft and Sony isn't.
That's exactly what I mean.
And that's true. There, like you mentioned one time, that's 50% more people that you're, you know, addressing when you
and start. It's actually 52%.
When you start, you know, marketing towards females, that really it effectively doubles the audience.
Actually, if we were to do it right, we would say it was 104% more.
Well, whatever. But it's a lot more. So not only that, but then you have people outside the general demographic of 18 to 36-year-old male because you have not only females, and then you have older people that don't normally play games, and younger kids who can't normally play games because they're, you know, two
but
or three
like
or four years old.
But I would just like to say that if your games are playable by people with no reflexes left, they're almost not games.
So the reason I hate it so much and other people that we know hate it so much is because the hardcore element, which is a tiny percentage of the population, isn't really happy with the Wii.
I still enjoy it when I use it.
So here's the dilemma. Cater to the hardcore, like Microsoft's pretty much been doing, and rely on them buying a lot of shit.
Which is true. They do.
Or cater to everybody else, which Nintendo is doing, and get them to buy a few things, but there's a lot of them.
You can't do that without doing it the way that Nintendo did it. Microsoft appeals to the hardcore gamer,
mm-hmm.
takes a loss on the system to give them the best performance and a huge attach rate for games.
Right.
The Wii and Nintendo, they have hardware they make a profit on, have a very low attach rate, and rely on the hardware as part of their income.
So Nintendo could sell you a Wii and you never buy anything from them again, and they're fine.
They already made money.
Yeah. If you buy a 360 or PS3, they're relying on you to buy software, peripherals, and
which
services.
I haven't, and have already made a profit.
And so, you're right. They're very different models. Nintendo, if you think of them as businesses, Nintendo is clearly winning. If you think of them in terms of sales, Nintendo is still clearly winning, although behind Microsoft and the new generation. But I don't know for how much longer that's going to last as far as total number of units sold.
In 5 years, before the next generation comes out, I'm guessing that Nintendo will still be ahead on money, but Microsoft will be no slouch behind them.
The one I think is in biggest trouble, right? I think Microsoft can ride this one out and probably do well and probably finally start turning a profit through this generation. They'll probably do okay.
Well, they've already made profit back to cover their losses for the original Xbox.
So Microsoft will probably do okay business-wise. They'll probably have a pretty good chunk of the Sony's
news,
in trouble.
They actually do have something that appeals to the casual gamer coming, and that's Katamari.
That's right. They have what appears to be an exclusive deal with Namco to get the newest Katamari, beautiful Katamari.
And it was rumored to be an Xbox Live game,
which
but
was
it
wrong.
Is not.
Yeah.
Which is better. I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, I looked at the video of the game.
I thought there's no way they can fit that in even 256 megs.
No, I was thinking there's no way that's a 360 game. It looked like a PS2 game. What did they change? You know, the PS2 game, in order to get all that stuff able to, you know, ball up and have all those objects on the screen that are movable and all this stuff, the polygons were very, very low. And the animation was very, very basic on all the cars.
I think that'll be a lot improved on the 360
version. But I was watching the video, and it looks exactly the same. It looks like a mission pack to the first two Katamaris.
I'm okay with that. I'm even okay with that for $60.
I was hoping it would look a lot better.
I think it will.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But in any case, that's one of the reasons I have all the consoles, even the ones I don't necessarily enjoy that much, is because no matter what game comes out on what system, I can always get it. If a great game comes out for the Wii, I can just go get it. I don't have to buy a Wii or worry about it. I have it. If a great game comes out for the PS3, I just go get it. I don't care. I'll play any great game out there. If there's a great game, I don't care who makes it.
I don't care if the game is about baking cakes, if the gameplay is solid.
Exactly. I don't care what the game is. If it's fun to play, I don't care what system it is. I don't care what nationality. You know, I don't care anything about that. I don't care as long as it's fun. And so I'm still waiting for the PS3 and the Wii to get some fun games.
Well, speaking of, they made a promise.
Yeah. So 380 new games by March 08, which turns out to be 10 new games a week, every week until March 08, which isn't going to happen. There's no way.
If they count PSP and PS2, it's still not going to happen.
If you look at my chart for all the new releases recently, under PS3, it had .. None. Zero.
Ninja Gaiden Sigma comes out. And Ninja Gaiden Sigma.
Ninja Gaiden Sigma is not even...
They're losing...
It's not even a new game.
They're losing releases, too. They lost Saints Row. They're no longer releasing Saints Row on the PS3.
It's probably for the best. Saints Row is old. Unless it wasn't going to take much money and
effort. And they also lost Manhunt, too. They could have sold their game system as being edgy, but they said, oh, no, we won't release an A.
Manhunt 2 is in a weird state right now. It got an AO, Adults Only rating, which is one of only 24 games to have received an AO rating. And they're talking about reworking it to get it mature. But as an AO rating, you really screw yourself. A lot of retailers won't carry an AO game, the biggest one being Walmart. They will not carry an AO game.
Where won't I shop?
That doesn't matter because, again, you're not the lowest common denominator. You're not
Joe
Blow. I am
the highest attach rate.
Right, but if you want a game, you're going to find it.
That's right.
You're going to find it.
I'm going to find it, and I'm going to find it for the best price.
You're not the problem. You're not the problem. They know that if they appeal to you, whoever the game company, the developer, publisher.
But that's a hardcore game that's going to appeal to hardcore gamers.
Right. So they're going to sell, what, 10,000 AO games or 150,000 M games? Of course they're going to go with them. They're a business.
I think they're going to appeal it and get it taken back down.
So both Nintendo and Sony have said, we will not allow you to publish this game for our platform as an AO, adult-only game. And whole countries, the UK, Ireland,
Germany,
Australia, they're like, yeah, we're going to ban that game completely, which is so retarded. I mean, you can't tell me, okay, so Germany, you're okay with shit-eating videos, but you can't do...
That's right.
You can't do animated violence.
That's right. Because
that's just too bad. You can show, you know, nudity on TV over the air, but you can't show...
You can't do pornography where people literally mutilate themselves, but you can't show it animated.
Yeah, it's so retarded. I mean, if you think about the hot coffee, ridiculousness of hot coffees for the GTA San Andreas, where they were fully clothed, just simulating the motions of doggy-style sex, I think is what
it
was.
No, they weren't clothed.
Yeah, they were.
That she was most certainly not clothed because I played through that game. I spent an entire 2 days at work
trying to get the
hot coffee
through
that game to that part so that I could show my director because he really wanted to see it.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
she was not clothed.
But it's not
her
exactly.
Boobs were cubes.
Yeah,
but
I was going to say.
She was not clothed.
I was going to say, it's not like it's realistic or anything. But,
no.
But in any case, what's the big deal? It's animated. Nobody's going to go out and start... I shouldn't say that. The likelihood
Nobody
of somebody...
Nobody who would already
exactly,
be violent.
Nobody who wouldn't already have the tendencies to go perform, you know, these violent acts or murder somebody is going to be swayed by a fucking video game. Either they're already going to do it or they're not. They're already predisposed to violence. You know, video games aren't going to make you a violent, but they may... bring out some violent tendencies, but not to the point.
That's
I think
not to say that they couldn't watch Reservoir Dogs or Old
right,
Boy.
Exactly. I don't know. It's just ridiculous. It in 30 years, people are gonna think of this is
when
our
violent
comics.
Movies started coming out. People said, "Oh, it's gonna make they're terrible. We have to ban them." And what
These
happened?
Are our comics
the crime
of the 50s,
rate
horror
dropped.
Comics. You know, now we look back at the 50s and the horror comics fiasco in Congress and all. It was ridiculous. Now we think we laugh at it. It's so stupid. you know, the comic code and all that other stuff. In 30 years, it's going to be the same damn thing. They're going to look back at, you know, do you remember the early 2000s when those idiots were all up in arms about, and look at the graphics that they had 30 years ago. It's so outdated, you know, by 30 years from now and non-realistic. It's just ridiculous. Like, I don't know. People just have to find something to harp on just because they have to.
Well, they have to blame society's ills on something instead of personal responsibility.
Poppycock.
Yeah.
What else we have? So, speaking of crap, a DOA movie came out.
I want to see it.
$205,000 they took in from 550 screen.
I think we need to...
It was less than $500
a theater. Need to do an event at the Yellow Rose, and we need to get this movie to play on all of their big screens.
Yellow Rose is a strip club, by the way. Strip club here in Austin.
How does that sound?
Are you in? Sure, if you can manage that. I'll attend.
All right.
Okay.
So if they can do nude golf, they can do DOA night.
And speaking of movies, we have Blockbuster supporting Blu-ray. Officially supporting Blu-ray.
What's funny about that is right after that announcement came out, an article came out saying that Blu-ray discs are suffering from factory defects and literally decaying.
Already. Very nice.
The movie at fault, I want to say, I think...
I haven't watched as many Blu-rays as I have HD.
I have an equal number of both discs.
Oh. Hmm. Well,
except that Weeds, the most awesome TV show ever, is only available on Blu-ray.
HD DVD will still be supported by Blockbuster's online thing, which I don't really understand because is don't they have a thing where if you...
You can do online and in-store.
And return to the store?
Yes.
So I guess they'd sort of just... returns it to Blockbuster online because
sounds
they're
like
not going
to
carry
of shipping charges.
Yeah,
to me.
Instead of just putting it on the shelves, I don't know, but whatever. I've heard stories that Walmart's supporting HD DVD because they have cheaper players, and Walmart's all about cost. So as I was mentioning earlier, HD DVD standalone players are low as $300.
If Walmart supported only HD DVD, it would probably be the end of Blu-ray.
Yeah, Walmart's definitely a bigger influence.
Or it would be a true dual format forever.
Walmart definitely is a bigger influence than Blockbuster for sure.
I can't remember. Actually, I can remember the last time I stepped in a Blockbuster.
Yeah, nobody goes to Blockbuster anymore.
I rented movies from them. They said that I rented a different movie after I returned it that I had never rented, and I refused to pay and contested it when it went to my credit, and they immediately took it off. I guess their track record is so bad that nobody believes anything they say.
Okay. So, yeah, there's that. What else we have? Let's sort of pick
and choose.
Let's look
at something positive.
Pick and choose something.
Decrypt CPS3.
Okay, so what does that mean? That means you get to play Street Fighter 3 on
your main machine.
That's basically the gist of it. Which
and Guilty Gear,
which is arguably the best 2D fighter in
ever.
In the history of ever. Yeah. So Guilty Gear is not CPS 3.
Isn't one of the Guilty Gears?
No, it's the first Guilty Gear's Atomos Wave is what they're on now.
Oh, that's right. They're on that weird.
I think they're in Thomas Wave now. I'm not sure where the first Guilty Gears were. I think they were CPS 2. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. But I think they're on the Thomas Wave now.
Squeenix chief executive says the PS3 and Xbox are too complicated. They can go blow a go.
Well, that just goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that for the general public, yes, that's true. They're too complicated. For the average guy, the average girl, for grandpa, they're going to want something like the Wii or the DS. Absolutely right. I mean, but that shouldn't be shocking. I mean, that's always been the case. You know, as the newer generations of video game consoles, you know, as they evolved, they became increasingly more complicated. I mean, look at the controller that, you know, I'm holding a six-axis controller in front of me now. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 buttons if you count the R1 and, I mean, the depressing of the left and right analog stick, plus 4 directional buttons, plus the PS button in the middle. And then it's got tilt sensors, and it's
but,
got
but
two,
you know
two
what
of the,
we have?
Two of the buttons are triggers.
We have tutorials in games. That's what we have.
But see, there's something to be said about just being able to pick up a game and knowing intuitively what to do.
There's something
without having
to be
learn.
Said about taking time and getting to be good at something and not having your immediate gratification.
If you design a game really, really well, you don't need tutorials.
Like Katamari.
Right. Even that had a tutorial, though.
But you didn't need it.
No. You could just say, push the sticks in directions you want to go. and just pick up
like
everything.
Like a tank. That's all it needed to say.
And that's all. But it did. Well, there
you
was
remember
this.
Attack
there was
for
this.
Sure.
There was a spinning thing. Where you had to like move them back and forth. That was kind of not intuitive.
And click both buttons in to flip around.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought this was pretty interesting. Microsoft suing Immersion.
Yes. Because one of the basis of their claim was
of their settlement
was something along the lines of not being able to something about.
I actually know what happened. So when Microsoft settled with Immersion many years ago, in their contract, in their settlement, they said if you ever settle with Sony for less than $100 million. You're going to give us a rebate of $15 million because we paid you $26 million. If you settle with them, you're going to give us $15 million. If you settle with them for more than $100 million and less than $150 million, you're going to give us $15 million plus 25% of the difference. If you settle for more than $150 million, you're going to give us our $15 million plus 17.5% of the difference above that. So it was an excellent strategy because they knew, I guess, eventually they're going to settle with Sony. And if they didn't, then, you know, good. But it was a good, I mean, they still got the use of the Rumble and all that stuff. It was a brilliant move by Microsoft's lawyers. And Immersion was stupid, I guess, or they're stupid or just desperate for the money. Or they're like, yeah, just give me the money, you know. But now the way they try to get around this is now that Sony and Immersion have made good. And Immersion, I should have probably started with this, but Immersion is the company that has the patent for Rumble in controllers. And originally when Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo all had Rumble in their controllers, Immersion went after them, said, hey, we have a patent for this. You can't just put Rumble technology in your controllers. And so Microsoft said, you know what? You're right. So we'll settle with you. Here's blah, blah, blah. Nintendo also said, yeah, okay, we'll work something out. Sony said, no. You're a small company. Screw you. We don't care. And so for a long time, there was litigation between the two. Finally, Sony finally came to their senses and says, you know what? Okay, we do. But by this time, Microsoft says, okay, now you owe us money because you settled with Sony. And so the way Immersion tried to get out of this is they said, well, we have a business deal with Sony now. We're not settling. It's a business deal. And one of the great things, forums are usually full of idiots, but there was a great quote by somebody, and I'm going to paraphrase actually. Somebody at the forum said, that's like Immersion saying that they got in a car accident and they're calling it an unplanned meeting in the road. It's not a car accident. It's an unplanned meeting in the middle of the road. But, you know, come on. It's a fucking car accident. And it is really a settlement. They're just not wanting to call it a settlement so they don't have to, so they can get out of paying Microsoft.
Do they really think that being the tiny company they are, that they're going to triumph over Microsoft lawyers on welching on an agreement?
I don't know.
Do they really think that it's worth spending that money to keep it in litigation instead of paying Microsoft?
They're pretty much gonna have to pay. Microsoft is a very shrewd company, and when they made
Microsoft doesn't take debt to do anything. They do everything with cash on hand. I think you're screwed.
Yeah, so it's still
but
pretty funny
on
though.
The subject of patents you can't believe exist. Did you know that Midway owns a patent on ghosting in a race?
Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't think. I don't know why Midway would have it. Oh, it's from hard driving.
Hard
right?
driving.
Or race drive. Excuse me. Hard driving or race driving. One of those two. But yeah, I saw that recently. Other news, not necessarily good or bad news, but EA splits into four. So now the
now
EA,
is that a preemptive antitrust thing or
I
what
don't know.
Is going
EA
on?
EA is the largest publisher in the world of video game for video games.
And they publish so many bad games.
So now they're breaking up into four groups. There's EA Games, and they're going to handle the bulk of the stuff. They're going to handle stuff like Command & Conquer, and, you know, they're just the regular stuff. Then they have EA Casual Entertainment, and they're going to handle Pogo.com and the casual games, and including, apparently, stuff like Harry Potter. So stuff that, for kids, I guess.
Licensed
and
crap.
And light, like video games light, right? So that's EA Casual Entertainment. Then you have EA Sports, which is self-explanatory. Shouldn't even have to say anything there. And then this is a surprising one. The fourth category is The Sims. It's just The Sims. Anything that has to do with The Sims, they're under their own publishing company.
I think they realized that
it's so
Maxis
huge.
As
it's bigger than Madden. The Sims is huge.
Well, they're targeting a whole demographic of females. The virtual dollhouse.
So, yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff. I'm not sure if it was a
both to of evade, Jasmine to X's daughters are all about the Sims.
I'm not sure if it was trying to, like you said, preemptively kind of sidestep the whole antitrust issue, or if there it's just a business decision to streamline business. I don't know. But
on the subject of terrible business decisions by EA.
Do you remember when Sega did this? They split up all the development. They had Smilebit and AM2. And,
I do not remember this. Okay. But I remember hearing all those brand names.
Yeah,
I didn't know their actual split off.
Yeah, they were splintered off. And then eventually Sega, there was like five or six of them. And then Sega, after about a year or two, like, bring them all back in. Sonic Team, I think, was another one. They brought them
so
all
these,
back
they
together.
They actually split them into different publishers.
Yeah, there were no different developing houses. Like, completely separate. They worked independently of each other.
Well, that makes a little bit of sense.
So, anyway.
But on the subject of EA's weird decisions, Spore, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this game.
Fiscal 09.
Fiscal 09. So April of 08 or later? I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was never one of those guys that was big into Spore. It looked pretty cool, and I would have definitely... I'm probably definitely going to buy it, but I'm not too upset about it moving off.
Well, and with its proper threading and use of procedural rendering, it's going to be able to eat systems from the time it comes out for a while.
Well, I don't know. To me, it's no big deal. There's plenty of other stuff that will come out between now and 09 that should be, you know, they'll definitely hold me over. So what else we have? I think most of the stuff's kind of
fluff. Let's talk about our idiot of the week, and I'll add to it.
So this is actually idiot of last week, I think. So the idiot of last week was the Church of England. So they got all, you know, their panties in a bunch because they eventually, I guess, just recently found out that Resistance, Fall of Man, the PS3 game, has a portion of the game that takes place inside of Manchester Cathedral. So they're like, well, that's sacrilegious. How can you be shooting guns and have violence and all this stuff inside of a church? You didn't ask for our permission.
Yeah, that's totally ignoring the entire history of Christianity.
Well, not only that, but it's not like, I mean, you're supposed to be fighting for humanity, you know, and it just happens to be inside of a church. It's not like it's a cult or, you know, murderers going inside there. You're fighting monsters, right? And you're trying to rid them.
Would it be more or less sacrilegious if you were fighting demons? Because there's been tons of games where I've fought demons.
Inside of churches. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
The entirety of Hexen.
So the whole thing is kind of ludicrous. And then they did some stupid thing where they asked for all of Japan, because Sony is a Japanese company, to boycott Resistance. And that's kind of, this just shows how clueless they are. First of all, the game was developed by Americans, by Insomniac. For, you know, and it's a first-person shooter, which Japan doesn't give a shit about, and it's a game that's old. So if you wanted it, it's not like it's selling; it's flying off the shelves right now.
It's on PS3 and under bot system,
right? So,
and
what would that do? Boycott it in Japan? Those
Japanese
three people that were going to buy it this week
are not Christians.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do they care about your church?
I have no idea what they were thinking.
So on the same,
they
the
have
same
no clue.
Vein of idiot,
they have no
did
clue.
You see that article today that a mom asked that Law and Order, the Law and Order
I
game
read a little
banned.
Bit about that. What was that about?
They took pictures and articles that were out at the time when the game was being developed and put them on a bulletin board inside of the police stations.
Uh-huh. And there was an article about her baby that got run over?
About
or
her
murdered
son,
or
not
something?
Her baby.
Oh, okay.
And she got all butt hurt.
Hmm. So they pulled it.
No, she wants people to pull it. But the game's 5 years old.
Yeah.
I think she just said, maybe I can make some money from this. And
yeah, I don't know.
She's going to be very disappointed.
Some people are just stupid. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even say about that. If the game's old, who cares? Anyway, so I guess let's just wrap it up. We'll try to be here. We'll try to set up a more consistent schedule. May have to do something on the weekend or even move the recording to your house or something.
Or Skype it or something.
Something, because the scheduling is not working out too well right now. But in any case...
my house is always quiet. Will always work.
And you have a cat now, though. Do you meower?
Nope. Only when you first see him.
Only when you
he
kick
shuts
him.
Up entirely.
Okay. So anyway, that's it for now. And we'll see you next week.
Hopefully. Next week.